20th time's a charm. Hey guys, it's Josh with another episode of Still Loading. It has been almost a year since my last update. I apologize. I didn't have much to talk about. I realized that trying to record a podcast about video games all the time, well, I'm not always into video games all the time. So while I still wanted to be focused on video games, I might start drifting out to some foreign topics, you know, maybe some movies, maybe more geek culture type of things, because I'm not just into video games, and I go through phases. Like, right now I'm in a little bit more of a comic book phase, even though I know jack and shit about comics. That's why I'm learning, I'm trying the stuff out. But I figured, kick this off, let's still kick it with a game. Who knows? Like, last month I was on a Bond kick. That's why, every time I say, let's podcast something, I'm always like, I have no idea what in God's name to podcast. Today what I'm going to talk about is, it's a solo episode. I never really have time to get my friends together or any guests in to talk about different things, because we're all so busy. We all have full-time jobs, and we all have to worry about life, but I figured, I'm paying for this podcast, so I might as well freaking use it, right? So what I am talking about today is the video game The World Is Not Enough. A lot of people know its brother or sister, whatever gender sibling you want to call it, GoldenEye for the N64, but my first foray into the Bond video game franchise was The World Is Not Enough on N64, and I loved it. It is one of my favorite games by far. The World's Not Enough, the movie came out in, I believe, 1999, and the game itself came out shortly thereafter. It came out in 2000 for the N64, and so it was a really fun game. I played a lot of it as a child. I would put that and Donkey Kong 64 up there with the two games that really sunk me into the video game world and like got me really into video games. It was cool though. So I remember first playing it was awesome. The graphics were fantastic, at least to me for the time. And you would go around, and so it followed the story of the movie pretty well, and you would go around and you would go on the missions as the events happened in the movie. Now granted, they took like a 20-minute cold open in the movie, or like, it was 20 minutes. It's the longest cold open of any James Bond movie. But they took that 20-minute cold open and spread it out to at least like two or three levels. Like, there was even a boat chase. Oh no, there's a boat chase in the movie. Mine's not going there. But the boat chase was obviously a lot more intense in the game. They couldn't just say, all right, let's just stare at this lady driving across the river. There'd be boats like chasing after you. You have to shoot them, blow them up, that kind of thing. The game followed the movie pretty closely, and things I liked about it, well, one, I liked that they incorporate a lot of gadgets. There was a lot of gadgets that you could use, and they were all useful. They weren't just like, okay, here, use this just so we can say we added in this to the game so it's a James Bond game. They would, like, some of the gadgets were the grapple, the laser, stun. There was the poison, or the knockout darts, which were particularly useful later on in the game. But you could do all these kind of things. And I'm pretty sure in, like, the second or third level, they made you use the grappling hook, like, right off the bat. So it was pretty cool, and it was pretty, to me, I had never played anything like that. I was still used to, because I didn't have a transition period from the 2D to 3D games, because I didn't grow up with 2D games, so I went straight to 3D. So I would play like Mario and Sonic and those kinds of games over at neighbors' houses, but until I actually got my N64, I never really experienced anything like that. So when I could finally start doing these things, plus I was a huge James Bond fan when I was a kid, and it was just, the game was so much fun. I played it so much. I would play multiplayer with my friends, but the game just, it never felt anything like that. And then the gadgets, in a weird way, made it a much bigger part of that. Like, I don't know how to describe it, but by the fact that I could do more than just run and shoot, that I actually had to, like, kind of, I could move it around. I didn't have to kill anybody. I could actually, you know, stun them and then keep punching them out. Like, I remember in the early throes of the internet, I would go to my public library because well, we didn't have an internet at my house, or it was dial-up and it would take forever. And I remember reading a strategy from someone on there. I used to go and I would print out, like, binders of cheats. But anyway, that's a story for a different day. But one of the tips was, like, you stun them and you just keep switching between the stun and unarmed. So you stun, punch, stun, punch, stun, punch. And it would eventually just knock the dude out. It was a ton of fun. And I just remember doing that. I'm like, wow, you could do this? It's crazy. And it was a really interesting, that's not the best word. As anything is interesting to, like, a freaking, like, how old was I? Like, 12-year-old. I'm like, oh my god, there's games and there's women in this, you know, right around that puberty time. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. But the gadgets really added a lot to it. And what was cool, it wasn't just shooting sections. They also had, like, snowmobile sections and boating sections. I still remember the snowmobile sections because you'd have to ride down a mountainside, ish, on a snowmobile while these parahawks are all coming in around you and trying to kill you. And you can blow up different, like, towers and stuff like that by shooting the gas canisters underneath it. And you'd always have to get to the end just to save Elektra. I mean, spoiler alert, you find out Elektra's the bad guy. Yeah, go figure. But you have to drive all the way, you have to go all the way down there just to rescue her. So I guess, actually, I've been jumping all over the place. The plot of The World's Not Enough. The plot of it is, there is James Bond's boss, her friend Robert King gets assassinated in the beginning of the movie during the cold open. And so Bond goes to console his daughter and also, well, console his daughter. But no, that's not why he actually was going. He to console her and to also protect her because the same terrorist who killed her father might actually be going after her. So he starts to investigate people around her because he's suspicious of everyone, understandably. And he starts investigating, and the more he investigates, the more she seems more, like, fishy. Like, something's not right with her. And as he travels all the way to Russia, like, her private security guard, Davidov, Elektra's private security guard, Davidov, is actually, he's the one that Bond is tailgating, not tailgating, but tailing, essentially. And so he follows him, and he ends up, like, killing him, and then assuming his identity, and gets on a plane boarded for, you find out, like, it's not Russia, but it's some Eastern Eastern European, but in between, it's like Uzbekistan, like, one of those types of countries. That's not the name of the country, I don't really know it, but I can't remember. It's been a while since I've seen the movie, and even got that far in the game. I only was able to play a little bit in preparation for this. But so he goes there, and that's where you meet Christmas Jones, played by Denise Richards. In the game, her acting is about as good as the character act as the voice acting is in the game. So what else can you expect? But as you find out, the terrorist Renard, who is the one who everyone thinks assassinated Elektra's father and also is the biggest threat to her, is there. So Bond tries to stop him, and he realizes, like, him and Elektra say a lot of similar sayings, and, like, he knew how to hurt Bond even though he wasn't anywhere around her. So how else would he know where, like, exactly the bullet wound that Bond was injured, or not the bullet wound, I'm sorry, where Bond's injury was from earlier in the movie during the cold open? I'm sorry, I left out a ton of those details, but I'm not a good storyteller. That's why I'm, but whatever. So he finds out that Bond finds out that, Renard and Elektra are probably working together. So he continues on investigating, and I mean, if you don't want to know spoilers for the movie, for freaking 17-year-old movie now, but you find out that Elektra is the one who actually ordered the hit on her father, essentially, and is the whole reason she wants to make for domination of the oil industry. She's going to use the nuclear bomb that Reynard stole, that Bond found in that Eastern European country where he meets Christmas Jones, a nuclear physicist. They take that nuclear bomb, they're going to blow up all the other oil pipelines, essentially, and leave only Electra's, so that way it will basically damage all her competition, and only she's only one that can support clean oil to the west or east or whatever it is for the next couple whatever years. A lot longer than that with radiation, but you get the idea. So that's essentially the plot. And the game follows it very closely. I mean, they have to deviate a little bit to make things more interesting, like when you're in the cold open, there's a boat chase. You can't just be watching the like I said earlier, you can't just go around chasing one boat and nothing else happen. It's going to be boring. So they add a couple more things into that. There is the Parahawk chase. That's exciting in the movie. So they did a really good job with that. But besides the single player, one last mission on the single player before I move to the multiplayer. I really enjoyed, there's a mission in the single player in between where Bond's finding, like right when he's starting to investigate Davidoff, you know, her head of security. And you have to sneak around Elektra's villa at night and try to, you know, get over to Davidoff and like spy and do crap like that. And that's one of the toughest missions I remember as a kid. As an adult, I haven't played it in a while, but I do remember like it was so hard because it actually required legit stealth. You couldn't just, as soon as you didn't have any guns. So as soon as you tried to like get out in the open, you were essentially screwed. There's nothing you could have done. So you had to be really careful and be very tactful and try to figure it out. But that was one of the toughest parts of the game. It was also one of my favorite parts. I look back on that and still enjoy the challenge of trying to figure all that out. So anyway, what I liked then. So anyway, multiplayer. I really liked the multiplayer on this game. I used to play it with Justin, who you've heard on this podcast before. Him and I grew up together. So we would play this multiplayer for hours. I still remember when we were kids. He was big into classic rock, and I was like one of those kids, like, I just want to be the cool man. I want to be, what do you listen to? Oh, that's cool. So I just listened to it too. So I remember my dad had a Beatles CD, and we would listen to the song Love, Love Me Do, because it was just the one on the repeat. Well, that's not the only song we'd listen to, but it just so happened that when we're blowing people up in an all explosives match, you hear Love, Love Me Do in the background. And just every time you hear Love, Love Me Do. That was, we were weird kids. We would just listen to the Beatles on repeat over and over and over again while blowing up people in this game. But we used to play like all snipers and all, like it was, the customization was amazing because you could play with all snipers, you could play with all explosives, and they had this one rocket launcher called the Sentinel where you could turn on tracking. So you would shoot it, and if you were aiming, if you moved the aiming reticule to a different direction, the missile would track the laser that you have out because you're aiming with it. And so you could essentially shoot it on one thing and then just track it the whole way over to kill an enemy. And it was an immense amount of fun. And we would play for hours and hours. We'd listen to that. We'd listen to Daft Punk's Around the World. That song we did listen to on repeat for, 5 hours or something. My parents were so pissed by the end of that. Like, not because, like, obviously we were doing anything stupid. They just tired of that stupid fucking song. And so we would play that for hours, and it was a great time. But the game itself was just one of the best memories I've ever had. I mean, I played it for hours. Like I said, I would play the single player, the multiplayer, and because of that, my friend Justin was like, you got to try out Golden. I'm like, what the hell's that? Because I hadn't even seen any other Bond movies yet, so I had no idea about this. So, and then we played GoldenEye, and that was a revelation of itself, proximity mines and whatnot. But that's another episode. So I'm pretty much just wrapping up. I'm sorry if this was kind of all over the place, but still trying to get back into this. It's been a while since I podcasted, so if I had any chops. Well, they're long gone by now. But I am going to continue doing this. It might not be just video game stuff. But yeah, so I will be hopefully back either next week or in 2 weeks with another episode. Depends on how much time I have. Yeah, you can follow us on Twitter at StillLoadingPod. That is at StillLoadingPod. Yeah, it's kind of long, but everything else was taken. But yeah, I'd like to hear feedback, and honestly, whatever. If just constructive criticism, anything. I'm looking just for a little bit of feedback. Let me know what topics actually interest anybody, if anyone even listens to this. So, all right, talk to you later. Bye.